football side of things. Now that we get down to essentially the final 3 to 4 weeks of regular season football, meaningful football before we get into conference championship games, and this past Saturday was a roller coaster that included a couple of major upsets. In fact, one of the big ones, Ohio State is done. Urban Meyer's squad no longer in the running to win a national championship after taking a 55-24 drubbing at the hands of Iowa. I think this was the biggest shock over the weekend. I don't know that I'm stunned that Iowa got the win, but I'm stunned about the fashion that it came in. JT Barrett, 18 of 34, 208 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. This is a guy that had kind of really placed himself in a position to become a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. That's not the case anymore. I mean, he's done. Ohio State maybe could still get a major bowl game if you take a look at the current top 25 rankings. But to get beat that bad by an unranked team just does not look good for Ohio State. In fact, while we have a second, we can look at the new AP top 25, which was released yesterday. No change at the top for Bama and Georgia. They're number one and number two. Notre Dame comes in at number three, up 2 spots. Clemson moves up 2 spots to number four. Oklahoma moves up 3 spots to number five. Wisconsin actually dropped 2 spots after knocking off Indiana 45-17. And Wisconsin's going to be a topic on the show today. They're an unbeaten Power 5 school at 9-0. And they may legitimately miss out on the college football playoff, even if they get to that perfect mark, even if they win the Big Ten. Like, I think it's extremely possible they don't get in. And it's because their strength of schedule has been horrible, which, as far as conference play goes, it's not really up to them. But their non-conference schedule hasn't been good either. Right behind Wisconsin, it's Miami. They move up 2 spots. They're 8-0. They get Notre Dame this Saturday. Huge college football elimination game. In fact, the winner of that game puts themselves in a position to more than likely, well, I think if Notre Dame wins out, they're in. But if Miami was to win out, yeah, they're in too. So it's a college football elimination game. One loss for Notre Dame, they're done. One loss for Miami, I think they're done. TCU is 8, Washington 9, Auburn 10. Ohio State drops 8 spots, which is kind of a joke. And I'm really curious to see where the college football playoff committee has them tomorrow, because I don't know how anyone can justify a 31-point loss to an unranked team, only dropping a squad 8 spots in the poll. That just sounds absolutely insane to me, and I'm actually quite stunned Ohio State is that high. Then you got Oklahoma State at 12, Michigan State at 13, Central Florida at 14, USC 15. See, Penn State dropped 9 spots after suffering another loss. They're 16. Va Tech falls 4 spots after losing to Miami. Mississippi State, Washington State, Memphis, Michigan, South Florida, West Virginia, Iowa State, and Iowa round out the top 25. Maybe that's how voters, pollsters, maybe that's how they try to justify Ohio State being in the top 15. They just move Iowa into the top 25. Okay, you know what? You've got 3 losses. Doesn't matter. You beat Ohio State. You were 5-3 going into this week, but you beat Ohio State by 31 at home. This is how we're going to justify Ohio State being in the top 15. We're going to throw Iowa into the top 25. Good grief. We'll talk some more college football coming up on the show in just a bit. It was a busy week in the NFL, too. Some weird stuff happened yesterday. And we'll start with A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey. Neither of those two are going to be suspended for fighting. Now, if you missed this yesterday, A.J. Green in the Bengals-Jaguars game got into it with Jalen Ramsey. Both players will face fines, but no suspension. The minimum fine for fighting, which is a first offense for both, is $30,300. There was some jawing going on between these two with 30 seconds to play in the first half. Green put his hand on Ramsey's shoulder. Ramsey responded by pushing him in the back. Green jumped, grabbed Ramsey around the neck, threw him down to the ground, punched him multiple times, which I've always thought is just genius, right, for these football players. You know, punch a guy in the head while he's wearing a helmet. But punched him multiple times, and then both teams rushed onto the floor, tried to separate the two. Both were ejected from the game, did not play in the second half. Mike Evans, on the flip side, was suspended today by the NFL for 1 game for throwing a blindside punch. Now, I've been going back and forth with a couple of people about this today. Should A.J. Green be suspended just like Mike Evans? And I'm not justifying what A.J. Green did, In fact, you throw a punch, you should probably be suspended. But I understand why Mike Evans is being suspended. That whole sequence is just ridiculous to watch. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but the NFL did suspend again Mike Evans one game, had a blindside hit on Marshawn Lattimore, plays defensive back for the Saints. After a play, basically Lattimore's on the sideline, and I don't know what Jameis Winston is doing, but I think Jameis Winston probably should have been suspended as well, because he walks out onto the field, and he pokes Lattimore in the back of the helmet. Lattimore doesn't like it, turns around, shoves Jameis Winston. Winston continues to provoke Lattimore, and as this is happening, Mike Evans comes out of nowhere and blasts Lattimore from behind and then jumps on him. It's completely different. I think it's completely different. The fact of the matter is, Ramsey and Green were going toe-to-toe. They were going at each other, taunting one another, and then a fight broke out. Lattimore's doing nothing. He's walking on the sideline. Jameis Winston comes over and pokes the back of his helmet when this guy's on the sideline. And then Mike Evans decides to blindside Lattimore. Just a couple of crazy things that happened in the NFL yesterday on top of two teams scoring 51 points. It's just something you don't see very often. It was kind of a crazy week in the NFL. If we get time, we'll talk about that a little bit. And, of course, tonight's Monday night contest, the Lions and the Packers. Huge game for the Detroit Lions. It's a huge game for the Green Bay Packers as they try to maneuver in life without Aaron Rodgers. So plenty on the football scene coming up in just a bit. We're also going to recap the University of Utah's Friday night win as they blasted UCLA. How much longer before Jim Mora is no longer the head coach at UCLA and the Bruins can start looking for a new coach? It's going to have to be relatively soon, right? We'll talk Utes and UCLA during next segment here on the show. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. Very short slate of games. The Utah Jazz will have the night off. 5:30, we get Boston at Atlanta. 7 o'clock, Brooklyn at Phoenix. And 8:30, Miami at Golden State. Three games scattered throughout the day. The Jazz will make their return tomorrow. They'll play host to the Philadelphia 76ers, the lone time that the 76ers come to Salt Lake this season. As far as the way things are shaping up in the NBA, a lot of bizarre stuff there as well. The Cleveland Cavaliers are not good. LeBron James had a historical night, dropping 57, and the Cavaliers barely got the win. Barely. That was against the Wizards in a 131-122 win. And then they lose 117-115 to Atlanta. This team's too old, they're too small, they're too slow, and LeBron James is going to have an MVP-caliber season in order for this team to come out of the East, which is shocking because I didn't see anyone really contesting the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference, especially once Gordon Hayward went down. Too many holes in this team. And the more Cleveland Cavalier basketball I watch, the more I would be alarmed if I'm a Cavs fan. In the Western Conference, the Jazz are at 5-5, finally lost a game at home. Haven't won yet on the road. 0-4 on the road. But the West is really, really strange right now. Houston's at the top at 8-3. Nobody's surprised by that. James Harden torches the Utah Jazz. Minnesota's at 7-3. Golden State's at 7-3. Again, I don't think there's any surprise there. Those are going to be your top three teams, I think, for the majority of the year in the NBA. I love what Minnesota has. Love that. I love watching that team. Very good squad. 6-4 teams, we have three of them, Memphis, Portland, San Antonio. Then you look at the five-win teams in the West, and this is how crazy this conference has been so far. Five-win teams, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Pelicans, the Lakers, the Nuggets, through 10 games. The Thunder are under 500. And Carmelo Anthony was ejected from a game for a bogus flagrant foul. Things are going crazy right now in Oklahoma City. So the NBA, it's starting to develop. We know who the worst team in the league is. Oddly enough, it's not the Chicago Bulls, at least not at this stage in the game. It's the Dallas Mavericks. They're extremely bad. 1-5 at home, 0-5 on the road, 1-10 to start this season. The Sacramento Kings, they're not very good either. So that's a quick look at the NBA. If you haven't kept tabs on it, I know it's not until around Christmas. I think the casual, lighthearted fans really start paying attention to NBA basketball. Of course, here on KOA, albeit a Jazz affiliate, we follow the Jazz all year long. And we've got a break for just a moment. We have plenty coming up on the show today. Again, next segment, we're going to talk about the University of Utah. They roll past UCLA to halt a four-game losing skid. Also on the show today, we'll talk to Antoine Staley, great friend of mine, works for the USA Today, covers college football for Athlon Sports as well. And we'll break down that crazy Saturday and look ahead to Saturday. There's some great, great games coming up this week. Notre Dame-Miami, we get Georgia-Auburn, we get Oklahoma TCU, some huge college football games as we get to the meat of the schedule. That's coming up next when we return here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on golfing accessories for Christmas. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
Sick and tired of having to wait to get service work done on your side-by-side? Bend Metal Off-Road will get you in quick. Get the work done and back on the trail. Schedule an appointment today by calling 820-0247.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With e-fiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom, 613-9605.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Utah State Eastern Ladies Volleyball Squad's historic season came to a close on Friday as they suffered a loss in the second round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament, which was taking place in Ephraim at Snow College. The Lady Eagles fell to the top seed and the eventual tournament champion, College of Southern Idaho Golden Eagles, 3-1. In the beginning of the game, the Lady Eagles opened up with a very strong first set and went down to the wire, but came up short 25-22. They struggled in the second set, falling 25-18, but avoided the sweep as they earned a win in the third set, 25-22. CSI prevailed and brought an end to the Lady Eagles' season with a 25-20 fourth set win, closing out the tournament for USU Eastern. The Lady Eagles advanced to the second round after they easily defeated Colorado Northwestern in the opening round. The 2017 season showed many signs of improvement in the volleyball program, despite not winning the region championship. Not only did the Lady Eagles improve their record by 8 wins, they were getting national attention, and some players even led the nation in certain statistical categories. In fact, the Lady Eagles were ranked in all but 1 week in the NJCAA Top 20 polls. Congratulations to the USU Eastern Lady Eagles on a successful 2017 campaign. We stick with USU Eastern, but we switch up sports and move over to basketball. Where on Friday, the USU Eastern men's squad opened up the 2017-2018 campaign with a contest in Wyoming in the GW Mechanical Tip-Off Classic. The season opener did not play out well for USU Eastern. They suffered a 90-65 loss to Central Wyoming. Foul trouble and poor shooting from beyond the arc plagued the men in the loss. USU Eastern's men's squad tried to bounce back on Saturday, but once again they suffered a loss, this time in a more competitive effort. They dropped to Casper College by a final score of 68-57. Now the USU Eastern men will return home this weekend for their first home action of the preseason. They will take on Impact Academy. Start time on Friday is set for 7:30 p.m. The men will bounce back on Saturday and once again take on Impact Academy. Start time for that game is scheduled for 5 p.m. We stick with basketball, but we move over to the women's side. And like the men, the women traveled on the road this weekend as they, too, participated in action in Wyoming. After falling 81-64 to Casper College on Friday, the Lady Eagles bounced back nicely and earned a 92-50 win over Central Wyoming. This was Saturday. They were led by sophomore standout Madison Loftus, who was an All-American last season. She scored 27 points. Now the Lady Eagles will next take on the Salt Lake Stars. That'll be this Friday at home. Start time is set for 5:30 p.m. The men will follow immediately after. And then on Saturday, the Lady Eagles will take on Laramie County Community College. You will be able to follow the entire USU Eastern basketball season on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You can also watch live action at KOALITV.com. And we end by moving over to the high school ranks, where the 3A state championship football contest is set. It'll go down this Saturday as Morgan will take on Juan Diego. This past weekend, it was Morgan defeating Juab 34-18 in the semifinals at Weber State University. Juan Diego earned their second win by a slim margin, a one-point margin to be exact, as they knocked off Summit Academy 38-37. The week prior, they edged Grantsville 14-13. The championship game will go down this Saturday at
Eccles Coliseum, which is in Cedar City. It's the home of Southern Utah University. Start time for that game is set for 4 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Many people believe that baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience. Call Price Pediatric Dental today to get your child on the road to good dental health. 637-9590.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that's just got me stumped. Childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's one in five kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America Network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Typically spend Monday talking college football. We'll dive right into it. Friday night here on KOAL, the Utah Utes blasted the UCLA Bruins 48-17. Now, as far as the standings go, it doesn't do a whole lot for the Utes. But in order for them to go to a bowl game or become bowl eligible, Friday night's win was monumental because I do see Utah losing the next 2 weeks. They get Washington State at home. They get Washington on the road. Tough sledding for a team who has played bad football over the past, I don't know, 8 quarters, 10 quarters going into a Friday night's game against UCLA. And plus, we have to point out that UCLA did not have Josh Rosen, a kid that I still expect to be the number one quarterback selected in April's NFL draft. Now, with that being said, Utah offensively looked good in this game. Tyler Huntley, 15 of 22, 234 yards, 4 touchdowns. I don't care if this is against a sloppy UCLA team. Don't care anything about that. Huntley needed a game like this after the way he had performed over the last couple of weeks since coming back from an injury. Once again, UCLA proves they cannot run the football. Utah did exactly that. Zach Moss, 23 carries, 153 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Such a big win for the Utes. I think they get to 6 wins now. I think they go bowling. They had to get this win against UCLA. It was a battle for a little while. But at the end of the day, the Utes get the win. 2-4 now. In conference play, which doesn't look very good. 2 wins against Arizona and UCLA, and like I said, the 3 games coming up, Washington State, Washington, and then against Colorado. The Colorado game, at least in my estimation, will be for Utah to go to a bowl game. Huge contest to wrap up the season. If you missed the broadcast Friday here on KOAL, following the win, Coach Kyle Whittingham sat down with the Utah Sports Radio Network. Actually, he sat down with Bo Nagany to kick things off on the interview and talk a little bit about the performance.
Coach Whittingham, first of all, congratulations. This must feel incredible to you because I know how I feel.
Well, certainly a lot better than the last several weeks. And so, but so proud of the assistant coaches and the players. I mean, those are the guys that made it happen. Great plans by both Troy Taylor and Coach Scally. Great execution by the players. And they played tonight with a purpose and with a chip on their shoulder. And that's something that we've been talking about all week that we think's been lacking. And we've always played hard. That's never been in question. But there's that little extra something that they had tonight that the reason we're in the Pac-12 is because we played many years with that exactly same chip on our shoulder. So it was great to see us come out and do that. It was great to see the offense get in a rhythm. You know, what you saw there after the first quarter, we're a little out of sync in the first quarter, but that's what this offense is supposed to look like, what you saw from second quarter on.
Speak to this team's resiliency. You know, it was a short week of preparation facing UCLA, which, you know, it's another great team, but they're working hard, and you can tell that they are. But it is tough to come out after, you know, a streak that we've been experiencing so far.
Yeah, it's tough to rebound, and you get a little bit beaten down each week that it goes by where you don't get a win. Credit to our leaders, you know, our seniors and the guys that never let things go sideways on us. Just kept working hard, even during the whole month of October when it was so dismal. The work ethic never was absent at practice. The attitude was very good, and that's a credit to our leaders.
So we got word that Rosen wasn't going to play just right before kickoff. I'm sure you had the same news, but did that change any of the defensive game plan coming into the game?
No, it didn't. They're both the same type of quarterback, pocket guys, Monster and Rosen. And, you know, obviously Monster doesn't have Rosen's experience, or, you know, Rosen's a special guy. But what we knew it would do is up the percentage of run from the Bruins, and also quick game, you know, that may give them some easier throws, and maybe some screen game and some max protect and shots down the field, which is exactly what we saw for most of the game. And so didn't surprise us. I thought Coach Scally and the defenders played it very well. The only disappointing thing of the game defensively was that drive at the end of the first half. You know, that was something that, because we had momentum. We had a lot of momentum, and that kind of gave them a reason to play in the second half.
Well, Coach, I always appreciate your time. I'm going to send it up to Bill and Frank.
Bo, thank you. Bill Riley, Frank Dolce upstairs, and Kyle Whittingham joining us downstairs on the Kelly Carden postgame coaches interview. What was going on in the first quarter, Kyle, with your offense and especially your offensive line? And then how did you guys make that adjustment from the second, third, and fourth quarter? Because you guys looked really out of sync in the first,
yeah,
and then
yeah,
it was almost as if you had a switch over there on the sideline that you flipped in the second quarter.
Well, we just, you know, things happen, and had some misread some signals coming in from the sideline, and had 12 in the huddle at one time. Had to burn a couple timeouts because of not getting, you know, we just weren't, the whole process was not quick enough and clean enough, and credit to the offense and the coaches. I mean, they cleaned it up, and after that first quarter, you know, those series in the first quarter, which we really got nothing done, it was very smooth the rest of the way.
So you were able to flip all of the numbers around. I mean, rushing yardage and defensive rushing yards allowed, and the way the turnover margin, of course, and the third down conversions. And how do you take this result and build on it when the competition probably notches up over the next several weeks?
Oh, sure it does. And but UCLA's got some guys. I'm telling you, they're one of the best looking teams in the conference as far as just on the hoof, and they got quality players. You know, we realize they're missing their top quarterback. It's no secret. But, you know, this should be a shot in the arm, particularly for the offense, of what things can be like when we execute and do things the way they're coached. And you know, come and show them the film on Monday. That'll be more testament to them as, you know, doing things the right way. And there's always things, you know, there's a lot of things, mistakes we made, particularly on defense. You know, on the edge still, we're still not as solid on the edge as we need to be. We turn the QB loose a couple times on the zone read and let the running back wind it back on the zone read. And so we've got to continue to be more disciplined defensively on the edges. But to answer your question, this is it comes at a time when we desperately needed a win. You know, it was a miserable October, absolutely miserable, one of the miserable stretches of my career. But those things happen. You got to fight your way out of them. And we fought our way out of it tonight. And again, proud of all the credit goes to the assistant coaches and the players. They did a great job.
So you ran the ball 50 times tonight. You threw the ball 22 times tonight. And I know that Coach, you know, I've talked to Coach Taylor several times, and he's kind of, you know, more on the, you know, a little more passing than the running the ball. But this seemed to be the formula that worked tonight. Is this something that we can kind of expect going forward?
Well, tonight it certainly worked, and I think ideally you'd love to be balanced 50-50. I think that's the ideal scenario is 50-50 run-to-pass ratio. And, you know, tonight, you know, UCLA, we knew it struggled against the rush this year. And, and so you got to attack weaknesses. And, you know, we attacked and came away with, you know, 250-plus rushing yards. And we very rarely lose when we do that. I mean, you go back through the years and we get 250-plus rushing, our record is stellar.
Well, hey, enjoy this win and enjoy the extra day of rest and preparation and healing, I guess, if you will. And try and get some sleep tonight, would you?
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be a good change of pace. We'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, big win for the Utes. Obviously, they had to have that to somewhat salvage the season. I know Ute fans going into the year, you don't think winning six games or seven games. And let's be honest, they have a chance to still win eight games this season. I don't think they get to that point, but they still have a chance. They put themselves on the right track with a win Friday night. We've got a break for just a moment. We have more college football coming up. We'll do a complete overview of everything that happened on Saturday and take a look at some of the big matchups coming up this Saturday when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Do you have any big home improvement projects coming up? Maybe a bathroom remodel, kitchen cabinets, or a new pole building? If so, Sutherland's is here to help with special financing for purchases on your Sutherland's credit card. Spend $299 or more on a purchase and you will qualify for 6 months special financing. Spend over $599 and qualify for 12 months. And purchases of $999 or more will get 18 months. It's the perfect time to tackle any upcoming projects. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy Extra Crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, located adjacent to the Castle View Urgent Care Center, is your new neighborhood pharmacy. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy accepts all insurance providers and can help you transfer your existing prescriptions over. It's as simple as stopping in and providing them with the necessary information. Or you can call them at 637-6337. They also offer the only pharmacy drive-up window in Carbon County. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy.
Auto Farm is a different kind of auto dealership. They believe in family values. You want the best price on your next purchase and you want to be treated with respect in a no-pressured environment? You can have both at Auto Farm. We have the best pricing in the state. How do we know? We check daily so you don't have to. And we treat you like family. Isn't that what family is about? Become part of the Auto Farm family and experience the difference family makes.
Come in and see our team. Safe to purchase, safe to drive.
The Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 1073 FM, 750 AM. We always save Mondays for college football talk. A little bit more exciting now that we know we're going to get the college football playoff rankings out every Tuesday until the end of the regular season. It's an exciting time, to say the least. Joining us right now to talk a little bit about this past weekend in college football, which had plenty of ups and downs, we have Antoine Staley. Works for Athlon Sports, covers college football. I know he was actually covering the Miami Va Tech game this weekend, and he writes for the USA Today covering Miami Dolphins football. He's all over the place. Antoine, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Hey, nice to be with you, Jordan.
It's always great to get you on the show. And, well, we'll start with the, I guess we could call it the big upset over the weekend. Ohio State not only lost to Iowa, they were downright embarrassed. Now, I've gone on two other talk shows today, and this was the main topic on both talk shows that they wanted to dive into it. And really, I mean, I've been scratching my head all day trying to figure out, Antoine, the last time an Urban Meyer coach team was in a situation where they could essentially run the table and more than likely get into the college football playoff or get into a national championship game, and they lay an egg like this, a 55-24 drubbing at the hands of Iowa. I don't think anyone could have predicted that.
I think you have to go back to, I think it was one of the last few years at Florida when Alabama, they played Alabama and Nick Saban's team two times in a row, the second time where that Crimson Tide team ended up winning a national title. But even then, you felt like, I think a lot of people thought Alabama was the better team. I don't think many people thought Iowa would win the game. I actually did, but I didn't think they would just dismantle that Ohio State team the way that they did. It was just a physical beatdown. Ohio State couldn't do anything right. Obviously, coming off the Penn, you had the Penn State game where JT Barrett was just flawless. You have that game, and you know, nothing was going right. Turning the ball over, yes, it was that miraculous interception that Iowa made, but I was shocked the way Iowa just completely destroyed them.
It shocked me the way Iowa destroyed them, but at the same time, this is a bigger deal for the Big Ten because I'm not sold on Wisconsin. In fact, I believe that Wisconsin can run the table, and I don't think they get into the college football playoff. A lot of people argue with me on that. There are one-loss teams that will have better resumes. I think there are one-loss teams that are definitely better football teams than Wisconsin. Besides, I don't think Wisconsin's going to run the table. I think they'll suffer a loss, especially once we get to the Big Ten Championship. That being said, to me, this loss right here, mixed with a Penn State loss, effectively eliminates the Big Ten, in my estimation, from getting the college football playoff. Can't say that as a whole, because I know some one-loss teams could ultimately become two-loss teams, and maybe Wisconsin slides in. But to me, Antoine, the Big Ten is now one of the more likely Power 5 conferences to be left out of the playoffs.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, yeah, they probably are done. I think Wisconsin could get in, but they're going to need a lot of help. And obviously they would need to win the Big Ten championship in order for that to happen. But, yeah, you have Penn State and Ohio State lose on the same weekend. And, yeah, it's looking more and more like the Big Ten is going to play in some other meaningful bowl game. There won't be the Rose Bowl because that's one of the playoff selections. So I have to look and see exactly what a Big Ten champion would end up playing. But, yeah, it looks like it's wide open in that conference. But I'm not sold on Wisconsin either. They hadn't really played anybody. We were talking about this today with some of my Dolphins buddies. They feel like Miami is a better team than Wisconsin, which they might be, but I think at least Miami has that win, that signature win over Virginia Tech now. Whereas with Wisconsin, you don't have that. You don't have that on your resume. So I think they're very fraudulent. A lot of people aren't sold on them, and it's going to be the case until they get to the Big Ten championship, assuming they were to get there.
Yeah, and I think talking about Miami, I think there is a direct correlation here with Wisconsin, and we can move over and talk about Miami here for a moment because Miami hasn't lost a game yet. They will be going up against the best one-loss team, in my opinion, in the country, and that's Notre Dame. If Miami was to top Notre Dame, there's a team above Wisconsin that falls out of the playoff race, and that ultimately brings in a conference champion to the college football playoff because Notre Dame's independent. They don't represent a conference. Still, if Miami beats Notre Dame, they leapfrog Wisconsin. So, to me, I just find it very hard to believe that Wisconsin's going to find a way to get in. With that being said, Miami, number 10 in the country, they knock off number 13, Va Tech. They did it in fairly impressive fashion, and I say this because Rozier actually had 3 interceptions in this game, yet Miami's defense was able to neutralize Va Tech. They were very opportunistic defensively, scoring points off turnovers, and ultimately they win this game 28.
Yeah, they were able to get after the quarterback, Josh Jackson, and just I remember it was one play where I kind of looked at some of my colleagues and just said, "Wow, I'm surprised he got up from that hit." It was just they were just coming after him time after time again, and yeah, and Benitez's offense wasn't able to do anything. Obviously, some turnovers there, and they were able to overcome those three turnovers by Malik Zaire, also by their defense, and also running the football. I felt like Travis Homer did a great job. Even Malik Zaire, he had a big run there, had 84 yards rushing and a touchdown. So, I mean, you can get away with some of that stuff against maybe a Virginia Tech team who, I mean, they're a good team, good quality team, but now you're playing a team that potentially could be in the national championship playoff coming up, and you can't make those same mistakes against Notre Dame. They're too talented. They have a great, really solid running game there, and they've shown times with it. I mean, we talked about this before. Their offensive line is just totally dominant, so they're going to have to eliminate the mistakes and play a pretty flawless game if they want to beat Notre Dame.
Let's talk about the Irish. They beat Wake Forest. If you didn't watch the game, you may not know how dominating it was. That game was never really in question. Turns out it's an 11-point game. Brandon Wimbush doesn't really play in the fourth quarter. Josh Adams carries the ball five times, and Notre Dame finds a way to put up nearly 700 yards of total offense. Notre Dame-Miami, game of the week. College game day is going to be there on Saturday. It's a primetime contest. The Irish open up as 4-point favorites. I believe Notre Dame will cover that spread with ease. In fact, out of the three games remaining for Notre Dame, this one doesn't worry me. I hate the scheduling because next week the Irish get Navy, which sets them up for a game against Stanford to close out the season. Navy's very hard to prep for, and you know you're going to encounter an injury at some point in time due to a cut block in that game. Still, if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I don't necessarily worry about this game against Miami because I don't believe that Miami has the horses offensively to beat Notre Dame, outpoint Notre Dame in this contest, Antoine.
I agree. I think that's really the main thing, and it's really going to be about Malik Zaire and if he's able to run the football. And, I mean, throw the football, also running as well. He does a good job there. But it's going to, you can't have three interceptions against a team like Notre Dame. You just can't turn the ball over. And he's had some moments. I remember the Georgia Tech game where they had a coming in age moment where he had a good job there. Obviously, the Florida State game with the comeback there as well. But, yeah, you just can't turn the football over. He's been kind of up and down, inconsistent throughout the course of the year. So he's going to have to play his one of his better games. And also, yeah, you're going to have to rely on Travis Homer to run the football. The offensive line has to play really, really good football against a dominant Irish defensive front. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to, Notre Dame is probably going to cover the spread. I know that's not going to be a popular opinion down here. They're probably people probably call me a hater for saying that. But I think Notre Dame, I think Miami is, I picked them to go 11-1 before the season starts. And you go 10-1 possibly. I know they're supposed to play 12 games, but one of them got canceled by the hurricane. You go 10-1 off a year, off of the leader they had last year, especially in Mark Richt's second year. I think a lot of Canes fans would definitely take that.
Now, I know you're a Florida guy. You like the Florida Gators. You're referring to Malik Rozier as Miami's quarterback. You have Malik Zaire. What did you think about Zaire's performance over the weekend, finally getting a start? Speaking of a former Notre Damer.
I think quarterback is an issue with the Gators, but I think more or less it's the offensive play calling. I don't feel like they're setting whoever the quarterback is, whether it be Felipe Franks or Malik Zaire, in the best position to win. And now they can't really run the ball. Their leading rusher is out for the year. Offensive line has also been a question. And I felt like they was just very conservative against Missouri. It was a 4th-and-1 call. You're down in the game in the third quarter by a lot, by double digits. Why not go for it instead of just kicking the field goal? And you only have 9 points at that point. And so Missouri's, I believe they were in the 20s or getting close to the 30s at that point. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Malik Zaire. I'm not a big fan of either quarterback, to be quite honest with you, but I think they're bigger problems there. And it's just with the coaching staff. So they're going to have a massive change there in Florida. And it's a scenario where they might not even win another game this year. Yeah. I mean, they have South Carolina coming up. They got UAB, who's going to be a bowl team. They're actually a really good team, considering the fact that they just came back into college football. And then you have Florida State at the end of the year. So it is definitely a scenario where the Gators just might have 3 wins this year.
Again, our guest right now is Antoine Staley, writer with Athlon Sports and also the USA Today. Also has a vote for the Heisman, and we can talk about that. Two legitimate Heisman contenders, in my opinion, really hurt their stock this past weekend. That was Saquon Barkley. I believe he finished with 63 yards, and JT Barrett, who threw just way too many interceptions in a blowout loss to an unranked team. I think you can eliminate JT Barrett. Saquon Barkley, he may not be the front runner anymore. That may be Baker Mayfield at this point.
Yes. Yeah, that's who I would say is the front runner, especially after Bedlam. Yeah, that's a great name for that game because it's always crazy things happen. There's a lot of points scored, And sometimes it's, you know, it's big upsets that it's had, even though Oklahoma State has been really a good quality football team for a little while. But Baker Mayfield, he's just amazing what he does, throwing up career high yardage and put up 62 points against Oklahoma State team, who I feel like, to me, is the second best, maybe the best, second best team. I know they lost to TCU, but at least second or third best team in that conference. So that was just an impressive performance. And right now, he will be number one on my ballot. Of course, I don't turn mine in until the very last moment when I have to. So, but yeah, he's definitely there. I'll say Barkley's still, he's still going to be a candidate. A lot of people vote early. So I expect him to be in New York. Where he is, whether he wins it or not, that's going to be an interesting question, especially with Penn State having two losses already with 3 weeks to go.
I know that Josh Adams was picking up some steam, the running back out of Notre Dame. He didn't play a whole lot on Saturday against Wake Forest. Does that hurt his Heisman campaign?
I don't think so. I think certain people, if you watch the games and understand what some people, team players are doing, yeah, I don't think it's going to necessarily matter. Stats are, you know, if a player is great or not. I don't think you necessarily need just gaudy stats unless you're at a good time smaller school. And people are starting to recognize Notre Dame and how good they are. So I don't think it really necessarily matters. You don't want to have somebody risk injury. So yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think as long as he does what he has to do against Miami, which would be a prime time game, you got Stanford still coming up. He does well in those two games. Let's say he has 200-yard performances. He's going to be in New York for the Heisman.
Let me ask you a question since you vote for the Heisman. And I'm definitely hoping I don't overstep here. So, I mean, if so, you can go ahead and tell me.
Go ahead.
In voting for the Heisman, I have always felt that character counts. I've always felt that. I feel this way about Major League Baseball. When you vote someone into the Hall of Fame, I feel that in order to get to Cooperstown, character has to be something that you consider. With that being said, I believe there's been too many questionable characters representing the most coveted individual award in sports here in the country. And to me, Baker Mayfield has some obvious question marks to his character, and I wonder if that plays against him come Heisman vote time, because to me, he's made some off-the-field decisions, he's made some on-field decisions. You got to go back to the win over Ohio State, that I just wonder if he actually represents everything that's right with college football and holding that coveted individual award.
It's a fair question. It's definitely a fair question. Obviously, you're referring to the DUI incident. Well, one of the incidents, yeah, one of the DUI incidents he's had at Oklahoma. And, of course, you're talking about the flag where you just put the flag down in the middle of how I really didn't have that much of a problem with it. Some people did. But, yeah, you're going to have people like that. You're going to have people that just won't vote for him because they don't think he's a really good person, or they feel like he's flashy. They feel like he's confident, arrogant. So, yeah, you're going to have people like that. But my thing is, especially when I decided when I was asked to do this, is to vote for the most outstanding player, whether that is somebody that's, you know, not necessarily has a questionable character or whatever the case may be. It's just meaning on the field for me.
Okay.
It's not – I understand why some people would look at it like that as far as character and things of that nature. But for me, it's just – I'm just looking at the player. And unless he's – he did something criminal. I guess you could say DUI is a criminal act, but unless it's something really, really serious, and I'm not saying DUI isn't, it definitely is, but I'm going to keep it just strictly on the field and vote for how he's performing on the field, because I think that's what I get, you know, that's the reason why I was asked to do this.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's just something that I've always thought of. Does that really play into the mind of the voters? But again, I would have to believe that Baker Mayfield would be the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Now, with that being said, Antoine, before I let you go, let's move over. We'll talk about some big matchups on Saturday. We get Michigan State and Ohio State. Big game as far as conference championship purposes go. It's not going to mean a whole lot as far as the college football playoff standings go. It could if Michigan State had not laid an egg and lost to Northwestern. That's obviously a big game. How do you see this one playing out?
You have to think Ohio State's going to bounce back. That was just really an embarrassing loss, and it'd be hard for press for me to see an Urban Meyer team not only losing and having an embarrassing loss like that, but lose two in a row after having another one after embarrassing loss. So I think they'll be highly motivated. I think Ohio State's still a talented team. Probably, I would still say they're going to win the Big Ten, and yeah, I'm going to go with the Buckeyes in this one. It should be a close game.
Number one, Georgia will be on the road to take on Auburn. Who do you like in this one?
The Deep Old South rivalry there. I still think Georgia is at least one of the two top best teams in the game, in the country. So I'm going to go with them. Auburn's been a little bit up and down for me. I thought they'd be a little bit better than what they are. They challenged Alabama, but clearly the Crimson Tide are the better team in that division. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia. I know they're on the road. You never know what happens in the plains down there in Auburn, Alabama. But I think it might be a close game, similar to what happened with Georgia and South Carolina. It was a little bit closer than I think a lot of people thought.
Two college football elimination games. Number three, Notre Dame, will be at what I would presume will be like number seven, Miami, by the time the college football rankings come out. I like Notre Dame in this one. I like Notre Dame to cover the spread. It's at Hard Rock Stadium, a place you're very familiar with. Primetime game. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I think they, not only did they cover the spread, I think I would pick Notre Dame to win by 10 points. I think Miami's defense is going to keep them in the game. They're going to be, it's going to be a close game at halftime. Wouldn't be surprised if Miami were to lead at halftime, but I think in the second half, obviously, most of the top, the best teams usually pull away, especially with a lot of depth. And of course, the Irish have, I believe they have more depth there is every position than Miami. So I'm going to go with the Irish to win pretty easily in the second half.
And number eight, TCU, they'll take on Oklahoma. Oklahoma better not be in the top four when the rankings come out tomorrow, because there's no way I think anyone can justify a team giving up 52 points as a top four team in the country. I'm a defensive-minded guy, and while that game was entertaining to me, it proved that there's obviously some flaws with this Oklahoma team. But it is an elimination matchup, TCU and Oklahoma.
I like Oklahoma. I like the way they're playing right now. I know defensively they have a lot to be desired, obviously, the way they played against the Cowboys. But I think they're peaking at the right time, and I think they're going to get in the college football playoff one way or the other. TCU I just never was big on. So, yeah, I think the Sooners are going to win. I wouldn't be surprised if they won pretty handily by double digits.
Antoine Staley, again of Athlon Sports and the USA Today. Always a pleasure to get you on the show. Before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find me at Athlon Sports. Also find me on Twitter at Antoine Staley. And also you can find my work at Dolphins Wire through USA Today as well.
Excellent stuff as always, Antoine. I appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
Hi. Thank you, Jordan.
All right. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Ready to start planning those holiday get-togethers? Yes, you heard me right. Holiday get-togethers are just around the corner. Don't wait until the last minute to get your catering scheduled. Big Mo's can cook a full meal, or you can choose meat and cheese trays with pasta or potato salad. Don't forget the mouth-watering rolls, yummy cookies, or fresh homemade pies. The holidays will be here before you know it, and your to-do list is only going to get bigger. Get your holiday dinner party checked off now. Call Big Mo's today at 636-0451.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, adjacent to Castleview Urgent Care, will open this fall. At Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, they offer home delivery as well as a convenient drive-through window. The pharmacists and pharmacy techs at Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy are there to help you get your prescriptions filled and make sure you understand how you're supposed to take it to get you on track to better health. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, great service with a smile.
Bent Metal Off-Road is more than a side-by-side performance shop. It's also a full-service maintenance and repair shop. Call 820-0247 to make an appointment to get your side-by-side ready for that next trip.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With e-fiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom, 613-9605.
Fall is just around the corner, and it's time to winterize your lawnmower.
Castle Country Radio on Carbonville Road and online at KOALBargainBin.com. General admission ticket prices are just $10, and that includes a special lanyard-style ticket, entrance to a character meet-and-greet featuring the 501st, entrance to the special event at 5 p.m., and of course, the first showing of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, at the Price Theater. Tickets for this one-night-only event are limited, so get them now at Castle Country Radio on Carbonville Road or online at KOALBargainBin.com. Castle Country Radio and USU Eastern special fan event for Star Wars Episode 8 taking place at the Price Theater on Thursday, December 14th.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Take that for data.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Final segment of the day, fun to talk college football. During this time of the year, I could do college football every day, every hour. I absolutely love it, especially when you get down to the final couple of weeks of the season. And the playoff picture is clear, but it's still murky, if that makes sense. Like, you know which 10 teams have a legitimate chance to get into the Final Four. But at the same time, you just don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, I think you're nuts if you think that the Final Four is going to look like what it looks like right now. Nothing over the past 3 years of this format tells us that that's the way things are actually going to look. And Barry Alvarez, who was actually on the selection committee, says he doesn't think the committee will keep a unbeaten Power 5 school out. I think they can, and I think they will. If things stay the way they are right now, the SEC will get a one-loss team in before Wisconsin gets in. A one-loss Notre Dame squad will get in over Wisconsin. I think a one-loss ACC squad gets in over Wisconsin. And the playoff committee proved last year that strength of schedule means more than a conference championship when they let Ohio State in, even though they didn't even play for their own conference championship. Yes, they can leave an unbeaten Power 5 school out if they don't feel they're one of the top four, and I think they will if Wisconsin happens to run the table. Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We will be back tomorrow. Joining us on the show will be Steve Bordstein. We're going to recap the Major League Baseball season, talk about the hot stove, some of the big storylines floating, like Giancarlo Stanton. Where does he go? I think there's a couple of front runners. We'll also talk about some pitching free agency. Thank you to Antoine Staley for joining us on the show today. Don't miss us tomorrow. We'll be back. Same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.
You're listening to News Talk 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL, Price, and translator K259CM Price.
Should not have been able to get a gun. The Air Force issued a statement saying that initial information shows it failed to submit Devin Kelly's domestic violence conviction to the National Crime Information Center. That failure enabled Kelly to purchase the semi-automatic rifle he used to slaughter 26 people Sunday at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Additionally, Freeman Martin, regional director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, says Kelly was able to get a private security license.
There were no disqualifiers entered into the National Crime Information Center database that would preclude him from receiving a private security license.
Kelly died of what's believed to have been a self-inflicted gunshot following a gunfight with two Good Samaritans in a chase. In the Washington, D.C. suburb of Silver Spring, Maryland, a police officer shot and wounded the driver of an SUV who had been ramming a vehicle someone else was in a shopping center parking lot. Yet another analysis of the proposed Republican tax reform plan is out.
A nonpartisan congressional committee analyzing the GOP tax plan found the 2023 expiration of certain tax breaks would result in tax increases for filers with incomes of $20,000 to $40,000. Filers who make $200,000 to $500,000 would also pay higher individual income taxes. Republican lawmakers supporting the legislation have said that the plan would put more money in the pockets of the middle class. Kenneth Moten, ABC News, Washington.
Following the death of a pledge at a fraternity party last week, Florida State University has suspended all Greek activity indefinitely, FSU President John Thrasher.
This pause is needed. It's needed to review and reflect on the loss of a young life and to implement serious changes.
Not related to the pledge's death, but a frat member at FSU was busted for selling drugs. On Wall Street, it was an up day, the Dow closing 9 points higher, the NASDAQ gaining 22. You're listening to ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
The current political turmoil in Saudi Arabia might just end up hitting us at the filling station.
The national average gas price last week hit $2.52 a gallon here in the U.S., 30 cents a gallon higher than 1 year ago, and up 5 cents in a week. And now, the Saudi Arabian officials arrested over the weekend have sent world oil prices higher. Analysts say that, along with hurricanes hurting Texas refinery output, could mean even higher U.S. gas prices this winter. Andy Field, ABC News.
Was Donald Trump behind the PR campaign a few years ago that stymied a rock star's plan to buy an NFL team? Yes, says the man who claims Trump paid him to say Jon Bon Jovi wanted to move the team to Canada.
3 years ago, somebody gave Jon Bon Jovi a bad name. He was trying to buy the Buffalo Bills, and a group called 12th Man Thunder tried to stop him, saying he wanted to take the team and run away to Toronto. The group told Bills fans to boycott Bon Jovi's music. Now a PR guy who created the group says Donald Trump, who also was trying to buy the team, paid him to sabotage Bon Jovi's bid. In the end, neither could hold on. The Bills were bought by the owners of the Buffalo Sabres, the hockey team. It didn't make a difference if Trump did it or not. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, in his own words, the Tony and Oscar-winning composer plans to release his autobiography on March 22nd, his 70th birthday. This is ABC News.
Whether you're running, biking, or even sleeping, the equipment you use matters. Beautyrest is equipment for high-performance sleep to help you perform at your best. For a limited time, get a free Beautyrest Sleep Tracker monitor with the purchase of select mattresses during our Beautyrest High Performance Sleep Sale. Monitor your sleep to see the difference the right equipment can make. Find a retailer at beautyrestretailers.com.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
How's the weather down there?
Check the weather channel.
Shall we talk about the weather?
Time now for a look at the local weather forecast brought to you by Castleview Physical Therapy. Today will be partly sunny with a high near 56 with a 20% chance of isolated showers after 11 a.m. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 24 with northwest winds around 8 to 10 miles per hour. That has been a quick look at your weather forecast on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 a.m. and brought to you by Castleview Physical Therapy.
You outfit your kids with the proper protective gear, but what if they still get injured? Rolled ankles, torn ligaments, muscle sprains, these can all lead to decreased playing time, especially if gone untreated. It's crucial to take the right steps to recover safely and guard against re-injury. The first step is to see the professionals at Castleview Physical Therapy. Their team of physical, occupational, and even massage therapists have the know-how to make sure your child's recovery is safe and effective. Get back in the game with Castleview Physical Therapy.
America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where even with a currently growing economy and shrinking unemployment and rising wages and other good signs of economic prosperity, does it make sense to waste $60,000, $70,000 a year so that you can send a kid to some extremely blue-chip, highly regarded college and have their minds warped into mayonnaise, nonsense, stupidity, political correctness? There is a protest going on, and